Let us unite our hearts in prayer. O Lord, we have assembled together and come to the altar to bring our sacrifice of praise unto Thee. We have lifted our hearts in song and asked of Thee that Thou would open our hearts and our minds, that Thou would appear in our midst. And so, Lord, speak to us as we assemble together, unworthy do we feel and humbled to approach a God such as Thou in all Thy glory and Thy purity, Thy holiness. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this evening would be a time to uplift us and a time to point us, to point our hearts to Thy Word, to see who we are before this holy and just God. So speak mightily to each of us. Once again, we pray to open our heart, to open our mind, and we will listen. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, I desire for this evening to read and meditate together with God's help from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. I desire to read the first 11 verses. Ljubazno želim da se pročita iz Evanđelja po Mateju 11. glava, prvi 11 brojeva. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto thee, unto you, Among them that are born of women there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John the Baptist appears to be forgotten here. He is in prison. He had fulfilled that which was prophesied of him. He was more than just a prophet. He was actually prophesied about. In Malachi, it talked about him, that he would come and so on. And so as he fulfilled his mission, what he had been given to do, he who had enemies because of the boldness of his speech, because of his willingness to speak the truth at the cost of imprisonment and eventually life. We consider a man who goes through this life, and it's said of him, he had no enemies. It might not be the greatest thing to hear. John the Baptist had plenty of enemies. We know that when the Pharisees and Sadducees came. He called them hypocrites. He called them out. He told them, "You're hypocrites. That which you are proclaiming and that which you're doing doesn't come together. Repent." He called them snakes in the grass. And so he had enemies because of the truth that he was speaking, not holding anything back, speaking boldly the truths that were before him. And the only truth that could bring someone out of darkness unto light. And so he is, because he told Herod that what he is doing in his relationship, that is out of bounds, that the law prohibits what he is doing. Could he have just turned his head, looked the other way, and said, "Well, I'm speaking to the king here. He has power to take my life, and he's not going to change anyway. Leave him alone." No, he spoke out boldly, told the king that what he is doing, the life that he is living, is sin. And because of that, he is in prison. And while he is in prison, Jesus sends his disciples out to preach into different cities. And it seems as if John is forgotten. A long time passes while he's in prison. If we try to figure out the time that he was in there, if you look between the Passovers and the different times that we can read, it appears that he's in there for a year or more. And he is hearing of the things that are taking place. His disciples, two of whom, when they heard the proclamation of John, their master, say that this is Jesus, this is the Son of God, this is the Lamb, they left him and followed Jesus and became disciples of his. And they were out preaching, teaching, and many miracles are taking place. And what is it now that has taken place that John the Baptist asks his disciples, two of his disciples, to go to Jesus and ask him, "Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another?" Is this John the Baptist who proclaimed him? Is he having any doubt? Why isn't he being freed? Why isn't Jesus bringing in this kingdom that he is the herald proclaimed? What is taking place here? Are you the one? Or do we look for another? Did he do it for himself? Did he do it for his disciples? Were they doubtful? Or was he himself doubtful? And we wonder of whom it is said he came in the power and in the spirit of Elijah. We know what happened with Elijah. He who God came in a chariot of fire and took him, so he doesn't see and taste of death, and ushered him into glory. After he had killed the prophets of Baal, he suddenly became afraid of a woman, Jezebel, and he despaired and he wanted to die. How could a man so great suddenly be afraid of a woman? How could John, who came in that spirit, in that power, question? And so we wonder, and we look at where he is at, He's lonely. He doesn't see things unfolding perhaps the way he thought they should. Dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, what is our life like? Are things not moving in the manner in which we hoped, planned, desired, craved, prayed for it to be? Have things changed in our life that causes us to cast doubt upon our Lord? Are things not moving in the manner in which we would deem that it should move along? After all, look at my faithfulness. Look at how evil this person is and this, and look at the excitement of their life and so on. And Jesus is really silent when he answers. He answers them, but he doesn't really give them a yes or no answer. He tells them, go and show John those things which you have seen, which you have heard. The blind received their sight. That was prophesied in Isaiah. The lame walk, prophecy, once again, is being fulfilled. Lepers are cleansed. It was prophesied. The deaf hear, the dead are raised up. Miracles are taking place. Who can do these things? And above all, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. He said, and then he says it to John's disciples. He says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Go tell John these words. Dear ones, what does it mean to be offended at Christ? You know, if we don't have the fulfillment in our life that we think there should be, we're offended. We're offended at Christ because it's not fair. It isn't fair, the state that I am in, whatever it may be. We all know our own situations. And we take offense at Jesus Christ, who is our Creator, who gives us life. Do we take offense when he tells us to preach the gospel? Do we take offense when he tells us you are to be that blinding light, the only source of light to a world that is in darkness? Yes, you. You're the only one. The one who calls himself Christ, a Christian. You are that source of light. You are to go to Herod. Yes, you. Doesn't matter who he is. Doesn't matter his position. When there is an opportunity to speak, speak. You hold back because you're offended at me. John wasn't offended at Jesus. Here's what Jesus says of him then. He tells those that are left who heard the conversation, he says, what went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? That's not who John was. John was the wind that was shaking the reeds. He wasn't a reed. It was bowing down to the earth when the wind comes through. What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? He didn't have the luxuries of life. He chose a wilderness and raiment of camel hair. He chose that. to serve me, he says. Those who wear the soft clothing, they're in king's houses. They're ones. Doesn't that mean it's every one of us here? The luxuries of our life, when is it enough? When is it enough? When do I draw the line and say, enough for me, enough for me, and more for God? How far do we need to take our luxuries? How far do we need to take our pursuits of pleasure because we are offended at Jesus, who in his purity and his glow and his light, he tells us and shows us a way of meekness, gentleness, kindness. That's an offense to someone who is offended at someone, to behave in the manner in which Jesus did. And he said, blessed is the one who is not offended at me. What went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Dear ones, John the Baptist died in relative silence. It doesn't, when Aaron died, they had 30 days of mourning. There's no mourning when John the Baptist died. And yet that head which Herodias took off received the crown. The crown that he had lived for and chosen a path that though he would offend others through Christ because of the truths of our Lord, he himself would never be offended. He chose a prison where he may have even heard the laughter and the music in the king's houses. He chose that. And when the head came off, he was ushered into glory. Jesus speaks of Abel, who died very similarly, alone. Yet he speaks of him. His endorsement of him is righteous Abel. Righteous Abel. He speaks of John the Baptist here as one who is more than a prophet. It's said of Antipas in Revelation, it says that he was condemned. And he died. But Jesus says of him, he was a martyr. He was a faithful martyr. You see, dear ones, John's alone in prison, but he's not alone. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, greater than Moses, greater than Elijah. And yet he didn't have a chariot of fire take him away. But here's what he says of his servant. Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. My dear brother and my dear sister, this speaks to us. We are in the new dispensation. This is only relative to us. Greater than John the Baptist. This is only applicable, dear ones, to those who have Christ. How much of Christ do you and I have? How much of Him do we want? It tells us in the Scriptures that Jesus is Lord of all. Of all. He has to be all. Lord of all in my heart. Or I don't have Him. So, dear ones, we have to consider these verses that we have read. Where when we think of Jesus, what He says here, of whoever is not going to be ashamed in Me, blessed is he. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's urging, he says, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of Me." Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of Me, His prisoner. But be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. What kind of afflictions are there going to be if I don't proclaim His word? What kind of afflictions can there be? None. He says, be a partaker of the afflictions. That only comes about through proclaiming and living the truth. Today, dear ones, Christianity, we don't have to look far. The pulpits are the reeds that are shaking in the wind today. You and I, who are to be this light, to shine, Jesus Christ, living through me, lighting the way for those who sit in darkness. How am I going to light the way? How am I going to speak the truth if I don't live the truth? Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Are you ashamed of your own testimony that you have given to some? How then can you have a testimony of the Lord Jesus when you're ashamed of your own testimony, when you compare it to the testimony of our Lord Jesus? So it shuts our mouth up. Is there anyone in the world today that we have come across, dear ones, that we could not speak the truth to because of how we acted, perhaps? And now we can't even go back and speak the truth because we're proclaiming Jesus in a way that defies who we showed we are. Don't be ashamed. John the Baptist wasn't ashamed. Prison and a beheading awaited him. He could have just said, it doesn't matter. Nothing will change. Dear ones, today we're living in a very tumultuous time. Are we going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, the comforts, John the Baptist was born in a priestly family, in a priestly line. He actually had forsaken a very well-to-do career in the priesthood. He'd have had it made. He'd have been this man that Jesus says, those that have the soft clothing, they're in king's houses. He'd have been that. But he would have had to give something up for that. Dear ones, are we giving up something, Jesus, for the comforts of this life? To show you who I am through my possessions. Dear ones, it can be said that if I amass a wealth is because I have not seen anyone who is in need. I haven't seen anyone. Because if I proclaim Jesus Christ, look at John the Baptist in the wilderness, camel's hair, locusts, and honey. Where was the moving in or up the ladder of society? Where was that? Now he even went and boldly spoke to a king. Paul says, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us. He saved you. He saved me. He saved us. He says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Holy. Holy. You know, holy doesn't leave any room for unholy. And we know the works of Jesus is holy. So, what then is our life like? He called us with a holy calling. He says, and is now he says, wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Why am I suffering? Why did John the Baptist suffer? Why are you and I going to suffer? Be mocked. You know, it's happening in the church. Mocking takes place in the church today. When someone desires to serve Jesus fully, who gives up the soft raiments and gives up the life of luxury for and a life of truth, a life of meekness and humbleness, that's not attractive. And you know what, dear ones? It's not the death that was important to Jesus of John the Baptist. No, it was his life and his resurrection. It's your life, it's my life that is important to the one who loves us. Because based upon that life is the resurrection. We are so afraid of the death, which we need not think of. And Paul says, I suffer these things, this imprisonment, these beatings, these scars, this, I suffer this because I'm appointed to teach. A truth that he said, I am free of the blood of all men because I never held back and taught all the counsels of God, all. Leave something out, brother and sister. And you've left out Jesus. I don't care what it is, you leave anything out to attract a crowd, to attract, to bring someone. You leave anything out, you've left out Jesus. That is empty. Paul says, I would be guilty if I left anything out. But I preached, I taught the whole counsel of God. It's the way of salvation. What part of it do you want to leave out? The part that is offensive? The part that will not attract? Preach it. But more than that, live it. And Paul says, continuing here, nevertheless, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, he says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I've committed, but he is able to keep me. It's not me. But when I've given him my heart, I've committed myself unto him. I've given him my heart. He's going to keep me. He's not going to lose anyone. No one will pluck us out, dear ones. It doesn't matter what kind of a death. It doesn't matter. It's the life and the resurrection that count. And he says here also, hold fast then to the form of sound words. Where are you going to get sound words from? Jesus and Him alone, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. There was when I look at the life of the blessed Baptist, John the Baptist, we can't look at his life and say, I want that life. None of us would say that. We're going to look at his death and say, I don't want that death. Jesus says of him, do you go to see a reed shaking in the wind? No. That's not what you're going to see in my servant. Dear ones, that's not what anyone should see in us. Shaking in the wind, being afraid, fearful. No shaking in the wind. No, we need to be the wind. That's the Spirit moving. Moving. The lost. And my dear friends, there's a reason why today you have not committed your life to Christ. And that reason is, He's an offense to you. The one you claim that you will serve one day, that you love, you're offended at Him because He's demanding a change. He says, count the costs. What's it going to cost you? Everything. Give it all up. Give me your heart. Give it all up. Give me your heart. Paul says, He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. He will do it. When you love Him, when you trust Him, we don't doubt in Him. So dear ones, may this word humble us and yet uplift us and encourage us that Jesus Christ gave this testimony of His servant who walked boldly, unafraid, serving Him and proclaiming the truths that are found only in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus taught us in this evening hour, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And the message was clear this evening hour on that truth. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That happened to John the Baptist. And I love that expression that was shared this evening, that when the head came off the body of John the Baptist, a crown came on that head. Blessed are ye, Jesus says. And the apostles quickly experienced that after the Lord ascended and went to heaven. They quickly experienced that they were persecuted by the Jews severely, and they were beaten, and they were commanded not to teach and preach in the name of Jesus. And then it says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Jesus told them to rejoice and be exceeding glad when you're being persecuted. So here it was that the apostles were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ, the whole counsel of God. The moment we take away any of the whole counsel of God and insert something that we want to insert, we've lost our way. We will no longer be the salt and light of the world, to the world. We are to teach and preach Jesus Christ in fullness. And our turn may come. And so I just want to read, in closing, some more verses from 2 Timothy, where it says, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, with Jesus, we shall live with him. John the Baptist died, but he's living with Jesus. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And then here's an important verse. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. May God bless his word this evening. Amen.